Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Hey. We actually got to the top of Samach Hey. I just want to remind you that we're in the middle of learning out all types of different dinim from the relationship of Moshe Rabbeinu's to Yisro's Shvua. So the fascinating thing that we learned out yesterday, according to Rabbi Eliezer, was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Poteach Benolad. If we learn that it means Mei Tu Kol HaNashim, that they actually died. So that would be Nolad. If we learn, however, like the Chachonim, who argue, so then they understand that the meaning of Kimeitu is that they became poor. Okay, so that was one of the inyanim that we learned. Today, we want to derive other issues. Namely, Tanya. Hamudar Anami Chaviro In matirin lo ela bifanav. Somebody makes a neder, and that neder affects another person. We're going to talk in a moment about what type of effect we're talking about. But that neder affects another person. Then he wants to go ahead, and he wants to be matir that neder. So what we learn out from here is that we will not be matir that neder unless it's in front of the other individual that this neder was affecting. Minanimile. Omer of Nachman dichti vayomer Hashem el Moshe b'Midyan lech shuv Mitzrayim ki meitu kol anashim. So, in other words, why do you have to first be lech? Why not shuv Mitzrayim? Because basically, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling is, listen, Moshe, you can't just go to Mitzrayim, because after all, b'Midyan nadarta lech vater nedarecha b'Midyan. You have to go there, and you have to tell your father-in-law to his face, that you want to be matir this neder, and otherwise you can't go to Mitzrayim, because we can't be matir that neder. So therefore, first I have to prove to you, of course, that he actually had made a promise. Well, it says Vayoel Moshe, and we know that the Lashon of Vayoel specifically refers to a neder, to a shvua, because after all, we find the Lashon of Allah in exactly that issue, in the issue of Nedarim. Because we find that when it comes to the story that we're going to be getting into, which is what happened with Nebuchadnezzar and Tzidkiyahu. So Tzidkiyahu swore to Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to see the actual details are not brought out in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk, it simply says, it's Mashma, but Pasuk is that he swore allegiance, and that then he was married in Nebuchadnezzar. The real story was, as we'll see in the Gemara, that he made a promise to him not to expose him to the public, as we'll see. But anyway, over there, it's clear that the word Vayaveoto be'Allah is a reference to a shvua. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, V'gam ba'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad asher hishbio be'Elohim. So you see that the Lashon of Vayaveoto be'Allah is referred to afterwards, Gufa, in the Pasuk, as referring to a Shvua that he had made. So if that's the case, Vayoel Moshe must mean that he was Mechayev himself, Begeter Shvua. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that since you were Mekabel that on yourself in Midian, in front of Yisro, so you're going to have to go back and have the Heter of the Neder being done in front of Yisro. What exactly happened? This is just an aside, says the Gemara. What exactly happened over there that he made a neder? Well, what happened was that Tzidkiyahu once walked in on Nebuchadnezzar, and he found him eating an arnavacha. He was eating a live rabbit. The question whether it means live, that he was literally Avram and Achai, that it was alive, or that it was uncooked, but it was like a real fetish of some kind, that he was eating something that people would have said, this guy's a bloodthirsty maniac. He's an animal. I mean, okay, fine. We find a lot of issues in Nebuchadnezzar that he really was like an animal, right? He turned into an animal from the whole period of the dream and so on. So, but whatever it means, so Nebuchadnezzar says, look, you know, I'm going to have you killed. I can't have a guy walking around who could expose this kind of behavior, you know, and then all I need is all the woke people will dump Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, this is a disaster. You know, I mean, if they could dump Abraham Lincoln, they could certainly dump me. So I can't have you walking around. So unless you swear to me that you're never going to tell a soul. So Tsukio swears to him. Okay, fine. You know, I'll never tell a soul. Fine. All right, so then I'll let you live, right? So Shtabeli did Omegalente Luye Vodolote Pukmilta. I don't want anybody to find out about this. So, okay, so he swears. So, if I become it's tired, Tsitkio Begufe. Tsitkio is mamish in Tsar because he felt that this was a great opportunity to undermine Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a global phenomenon. If he finally had a way that he could dump Nebuchadnezzar by spreading this around, you know. I mean, even in those days, they had a little bit of Twitter, you know. So your Twitter is the Lushan of Pitput Ofots, right? Birds, the Twitter, which is connected to the idea of the Tsaras, the Tziporim, is Lashon Hara. That's why they call it Twitter. It's a platform for Lashon Hara. So even in those days, they could get it around. You know, this is a real juicy thing. So he decided he's going to go and he's going to get a heter from Sanhedrin on his Shvuah. So Ichil HaShvuah, say. So he did. And then V'yomar, then he told people about it. Shama Nebuchadnezzar to come a I said, sure enough, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, starts seeing articles about Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, yeah, this becomes like a whole underground movement. Dump Nebuchadnezzar, the barbarian, and so on. So he realizes, you know, this is obviously coming from Tzidkio. So he has Sanhedrin and Tzidkio brought in front of him. So he says to Sanhedrin, listen, gentlemen, I want you to be Don Tzidkio. This guy swore to me. And Chazito, my Ka'avit Tzidkio, you see? Lavach ishtaba b'shma d'shmaya de lo megalina. I mean, he made a shvua b'shem Hashem that he's not going to tell anybody. And he goes out and he tells people. So Amri Lei, so they say to Nebuchadnezzar, itash le'ashvuata. But he came to us and he was shoyel on the shvua. So you're allowed, therefore, to be doing something even though you were nishba, because these shvuas we don't really believe are realities, so we were matir. So he said to them, what? Metashlina shvuata. So what is the meaning of a shvua if you could just have the shvua removed? You can do that? I'm really, yeah, you can do that. So he says, that doesn't make sense to me. You can do that even if it's not in the presence of the person from the shvuah was made? That doesn't make sense. Bifanav or afilu shelo bifanav? So they said, no, it's only bifanav. So he says, so what the heck did you guys do? So aton my aviditon, my time elo amritum letzitkiyo. Why didn't you tell him that you can't be matir him unless he comes in front of the Nebuchadnezzar? And he does this heter in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Yad, and that's the story of Yeshvu La'aretz, Muzik Nebat Zion, because the Gemara says that basically the Medrash says in Eicha that because of this, he ended up, he was the one that had been very Machshiv Sanhedrin. I mean, it's very interesting because there was a modern equivalent to this thing in terms of Napoleon. Well, he had his own reasons for Machshiv Sanhedrin, you know, he wanted to achieve all kinds of things. But, so Nebuchadnezzar had done the same thing, and he had provided these beautiful, you know, a beautiful hall for Sanhedrin with golden chairs and so on. And in the end, he had them thrown down to the ground, and then he had to drag them to the streets on the ground, attaching them to horses. It was a horrible thing. So this was Kadosh Baruch Hu had taken it out of their heads, apparently. We'll see. We'll discuss it in a moment. And because of that, on Rabbi Yitzchak, Shomtu Karimi Tachteim, they threw them onto the ground. Halavai, it would have just ended with that. But anyway, so then, and the question is, what is exactly, there's two questions. What exactly is the reason that it would have to be Befanav? And secondly, what is the din in a case like this where it was done Shelo Kedin, Bidyavad? So was Tzidkio actually being over on his shvua or not? So it turns out that there's a machlokas in the Yerushalmi what the tam is, which the Ran brings in detail. According to one man, the Omar, the tam is busha. is the way the Yerushalmi puts it. And what's the busha? That you should have to face the person that you made the neder for, and therefore you'll end up, and by doing this busha, so then you'll end up not doing something like that. But others learn, Richie, you're not on yet, sweetheart. Mute it. Okay.
He's a serial offender.
That's true. Man, oh man, the guy's a genius. What can you do? Anyway, the other svara is that it's chashad. Chashad means that the person, if he doesn't know that you were matir the neder, and he sees you all of a sudden being mezalzel in your neder, so he'll be chashad you that you aren't shomer the nedarim. Because of that, it has to be done in front of you. Now, obviously, there's going to be a major nafkamina, right? Because if it's because of busha, so then it would only make sense that it would be in front of the person that you need to be mitbayesh from. That is because you did something for his benefit, like over here. You made a neder, which was for the benefit of Nebuchadnezzar, and because of which you derived Hana. In this case, I'll make you a deal, you can't refuse. So you allowed him to live, you know, and then you're just going to, like, go ahead and walk over it, which is what obviously Nebuchadnezzar felt was a davar pashut. I mean, to Nebuchadnezzar, the shaila of, you could do this even not in front of the guy, clearly was this concept, not of chashad. He was concerned about the fact that how could something be meaningful if you can't trust anybody and the person himself isn't involved in the heter. But if it has to do with a neder that's not for the benefit of someone else, so let's say you made a neder that is for a certain person, you're not going to be nene from, you know, and then you go ahead and you are nene from him. So, big deal. Unless the issue is chashad. You told the guy you're not going to be nene from, now all of a sudden you're going around being nene, or vice versa. So the guy's going to think, wow, this guy's mamash doesn't care about his nedarim. So in order to avoid that chashad, you would have to let him know. Listen, I had a heter for the neder, and I went to Bezdin. But there's another nafkamina according to Rabbeinu Tam, which the Ran brings, which would be that if the Tam is gufa because of the biyush, then it isn't just to get him to avoid doing this and acting in an inappropriate manner. It would mean that he would need the other person's rishus to be able to do it. Because since it was given for that other person's benefit, so then that's considered to be part of the neder. But I can't just say something and then it's dependent on me. It's the same as saying it's al das the chaver. In this case, the chaver being Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was saying. He made it for me. So what, now he's allowed to just go ignore me, which was made on my das? That's the real meaning of the difference in busha, says Rabbi Natan. Okay, so now if that's the case, what would be the din? And the Ran goes along with that. Now, what would be the din where b'di avad it was actually done, such as in this case? So let's say it wasn't supposed to be done, but it was done. So you could taina that, okay, so maybe b'di avad, if it was done, that would explain why it is that Sitkiyo went ahead and actually was somech on this hatter. Maybe even though he realized and he knew it wasn't right, and it could be that Sanhedrin was matir it because he had a din of a melech tzitkiyo. And if he told them to do it, so they have a mitzvah to be shomeyev to a melech. So maybe the tzerech mitzvah would be mutter. Okay, so this is a big shaila. And the question is, well, look, the fact is that you see in the pasuk itself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at him that he did this, right? Because it says, like pasuk we just quoted, that Nebuchadnezzar had been mashbiyo belokim, and here he went ahead and was mezalzel in the shvua. So it's not so pashut that even b'diavad that it would be considered to be a heter nedar. Okay, so that would be gufa, the next thing that we learn out from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu's shvua, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had said, Leich, you have to go back and you have to get the Rishus, which is the way that Rashi learns about Pashtas. You have to be Mavakish from him that he should allow you to go. We didn't realize that that was a Nogea, the Neder, that he said he wouldn't go. So the Pashtas people understand the Rashi that the Neder was. You can't go unless I give you permission, so I'm going to ask permission. But that's not the point in the Gemara. The point was that I won't go. Here, it's that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Neder would be Mechayev, the Heter, Shvua actually, would be Mechayev me to get a Heter, but only with the Rishos. So it's a much more complex issue than we thought.
Rabbi, in terms of the Chilul Hashem of a Shvua, so
true.
So again,
other
Yeshua and the Givonim,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Once we promised.
Yes. So others indeed learn, they bring in that the issue in this case could be Nogea, also the Chilul Hashem, as Rabbi Nehem pointed out, of the Givonim. That's why, which was a machlokis, really, whether they did the right thing or not. But the reason that they didn't actually take it out on the Givonim, who fooled them into being over on the Yisr, making a bris with the Yoshvarat and so on, and that's why they were turned into water carriers and so on, all of this was because of Chilul Hashem. So there are others who learn that that's the issue over here. Not just Tam Chashad, but that you can't do something that's going to be Mechal Shem Shemai. Okay, but the two timing that I brought you earlier, that's the Yerushalmi. And now we are ready for Sir Richard himself. We've been discussing the question of Machlokas in the Mishnah. Can you be Poteach Ben Nolad? And remember, that's what got us to the discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu's himself having made the Shvua, and whether Meitu Kol Anashim is really Poschim Ben Nolad, or Meitu Kol Anashim is that they were poor, and therefore they would no longer have any kind of influence in Mitzrayim. And that leads us back to the continuation of the Mishnah, which is that Rabbi Meir says, look, let's not misunderstand what we mean by nolad. Nolad does not mean any situation where an unforeseeable circumstance happens. Nolad that we were discussing was only a nolad where I'm talking about making a petach out of nolad. So what's the problem of that? The problem is that since a petach works, according to the Chachomim, since a petach works by the person saying, if I had realized that, and I would never have made the neder, it doesn't make sense with nolad, because you can't say if I would have realized that, because you would not have taken that into consideration, because it's not foreseeable. That's what the definition of nolad is. So says Rabbi Meir, there are things that may make you think of nolad, but since the context is completely different, it makes no difference whether they are in other circumstances nolad. So let's imagine a case like this. There are things that look like nolad, but they're not nolad. But the Chachomim disagree. And the Chachomim say, even in these things, you have to consider them to be nolad. Now we're going to see that it's a question whether even in these things they're like nolad because of Gzeira, because since they look like nolad, so people will get confused. Or whether this is really a fundamental machlokes in which the Chachamim hold that it really connects me Ikar Hadin to the Noelad issue. We'll see in the Gemara. But first, let's talk about what we mean. What's the case? Ketzad. What am I referring to, says Rabbi Meir? So let's say a guy says that, Konem Shani Nose et Plonis, Shavi Ara. So I'm answering this kind of wedding on myself, this woman, her father is a big Russia. And then they say to him, well, the father died, now you can go marry her. Or the father did teshuvah, now you can go marry her. Or a guy says, konim labayit zeh shani nichnas, shakelav ra betocho, o shanach hash betocho. Man, that place is dangerous, full of poisonous snakes, you know. Or this guy's got one of these dangerous dogs in there. And then they say to him at some point, well, the dog died, or the nachash, they brought in somebody and they killed the snakes. So these things, says Rabbi Meir, they may look like nolad, but they're not nolad, and they are completely bottle mavuta. Ve'in chachamim modim. And we'll see in the Gemara what the svar is over here. But the chachamim hold, nope, it's not true that they're batel mavut. Okay, so let's take a look at why this would be true. Konem, either the case of I won't marry her, I won't go into the house. So Rabbi Meir says, the fact that he died is enough to be matir the neder, but why? Why are you saying there? It looks like nolad, but it isn't nolad? It is nolad. Mate? Didn't we say before that mate is nolad? That's how we learned yesterday. Amar Avuna, because since he said it, beferish, that this is the reason I'm making the neder. I don't want to marry this woman because of her Russia father. Okay, so then that changed, right? So it would be like Nase Ketola Nidro B'davar. So it would be like a T'nai. That basically what I'm saying is, not that this is a petach to the neder. What I'm saying is that since L'chatchila, I made the neder, beferish saying why, that's the equivalent of saying as long as this woman's father is a Russia, so I'm not going to marry her. But then it's as if L'chatchila, you made the whole thing dependent on a T'nai. And just like any other T'nai, well, I don't even need to go to Bezdin. Why would I need to go to Bezdin? I said this neder is chal so long as she has this father. If the father disappears, the neder disappears. Or if the rishis of the father disappears, then the neder disappears. So it may look to you like neilat, but it isn't neilat. It's simply a t'nai, and therefore it's batel without even going to Bishrael on the neder. Masha'en came, according to this approach, the Chachomim say that to say just because you mentioned a context doesn't mean that you're making it dependent on the context, and therefore the neder isn't batel. Now, the question is, in this case, since you clearly indicated that you were thinking about the ongoing situation, would we allow you to make a petach, even according to the Chachomim, of the fact that the father died? Or would we still say that it's nolad? And the fact that you mentioned the father wouldn't change anything vis-a-vis the question of utilizing this for nolad in the event that you hold like the Chachomim and that you would still need to use a petach. Is this a valid petach or not? Now, that's machlokas achronim. So some say that since lemaisa, the person already mentioned it, so then it's true that Chachomim say mentioning it is not enough to say that it's mamish a t'nai in the neder, but it certainly is enough to say that, okay, your focus was on that situation. So therefore, you took into consideration the idea that daddy may disappear, or he may do teshuva, and that's why you mentioned it. Otherwise, you would have just said, well, I don't want to marry her. But since the point is that you're considering that as the problem, so then that would mean it would be reasonable to be poteach even b'misa or b'tshuva and not view that as nailat. Okay, that's a machlokas. You could see it's fascinating because what this does for the getter of a petach. It's also is another fascinating issue. Is tshuva considered to be nailat? We said misa is considered to be nailat. Losing your money is not considered to be neilat. But is someone doing teshuva? Is that neilat? Because Rabbi Meir puts it here together. Who's going to do teshuva? What, are you crazy? It's like, okay. I mean, that would be very, very nogea, right? Are you supposed to take into consideration? We know there definitely are times where you don't view, let's say, somebody sees a Talmud Chacham doing an Avera at night. So, vada yasa tshuva, as the Gemara says, right? So, vada yasa tshuva over there, certainly not saying it's nolad. But Mashenken, in this case, where the father is Tamar Russia, maybe over there it is considered to be nolad. I don't know, it's a fascinating issue.
Well, we don't expect, I mean, in love, when we know something has been rotten, we don't ever expect them to change. So, therefore, if they change, it's like, oh my God, that idiot who was such a tosser.
Yeah, like, no, that's true. That's what Rabbi Meir, that's what Rabbi Meir seems to be saying over here. Yeah. In other words, the idea of what Alon is saying is that if somebody is an overall bastard, you don't expect him to change. If he has a particular thing that he did, he took money or he embezzled, whatever, but he's generally a good person. We got into a financial pickle or whatever, so something caused him to be over on a particular thing. Then we wouldn't say that Truva is Nailat, because then it's consistent with his overall personality, you know, and his overall approach to life, because that we saw before is also, we mentioned yesterday, that was the Chanoch Lunar Al Pi Darko. So if a person has a derech, then that derech will ultimately assert itself and will make him be Sham De'Oisav. Okay, so that's one approach. So it's Nase Keter L'Nidro B'Dover, that's Rav Huna's approach. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you misunderstand. The case in the way Rav Huna understood it is really Nailat. The case that we're talking about is that they told him, what father? That guy? He was dead at the time that you made the neder. Or he had already done teshuva at the time that you made the neder. So then it's a neder b'ta'ut. So Rabbi Meir wasn't saying that it's a t'nai. Rabbi Meir wasn't saying that it was a basis for a petach in front of a chacham. He was saying that it was nidre ta'ut. Nidre ta'ut, we said, that they're not chal at all, because that's nidre shagug. You thought something was true and it wasn't true. So then the neder actually never happened. If it's based on a mistaken assumption, so then it doesn't take place ever. There was no chalos haneder. Was Rabbi Abba? So Rabbi Abba, Tain is against Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because the Mishnah continues tomorrow. The Mishnah continues with the next piece, safe of the Mishnah, is Konim She'eni Nosei L'Plonit Ke'ura. Guy makes a neder. He tells his Shatchanit, I'm never going to marry that ugly girl. So he makes a neder that he's never going to marry that ugly girl. But she wasn't ugly. She was beautiful. He had seen the wrong picture, you know. So, Harehi Na'ah. Or he says, I don't marry black people. Well, it turns out she was white, you know. She's too short for me. Wrong picture. She was very tall. Perfect match. Harehi Aruka. So, in that case, the neder's batal. Mutarba. Not because she was ugly and became beautiful. Not because she was black and turned white. Not because she was short and became tall. The reason we're talking about over here is that she was this. The whole thing was a mistake. Elash aneder ta'ut. Now look, this next piece in the Mishnah, I mean, is obviously introducing a new thing. It's introducing nidre ta'ut, which means that the earlier part of the Mishnah was not talking about nidre ta'ut. So that the way you understood it, Rabbi Yochanan, it's exactly the same thing. What do I need to bring? What's the difference if the basis of the neder is that I thought she was ugly, or the basis of the neder is that I thought she had a father who's a Rasha? It's the same thing. I don't need two different prophets in the Mishnah to tell me the same thing, do I? So Bishlam, according to Rav Huna, we have two completely different halachas. The first part, the reason is not that it was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. Her father was a Rasha, except later he did teshuva, or later he died. So over there, Rabbi Meir, the way Rav Huna understood it, is that Rabbi Meir was telling us halacha, that even if you mention something that gives insight into your state of mind, so then it becomes the equivalent of a t'nai. So it's nasik tole nidro b'davar, that's a big chiddush. So the first part of the Mishnah tells us that halacha, tana tole nidro b'davar. And the second part of the Mishnah tomorrow teaches us a new concept, nidre ta'ut. Okay, so I need to know both of these dinim. Mashenke, the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, Rabbi Yochanan says that he made a mistake. He thought there was a father who was a Rasha. And at the time that he made the neder, there was no father who was a Rasha. No, that's nidre ta'ut, isn't it? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, diomar kvar mit. Ukvar asatruva. So why do I need to mention nidre ta'u twice? It's exactly the same, isn't it? So therefore, that can't be the explanation of the Mishnah. So that shows that Rabbi Yochanan is not giving us the right explanation. Okay, kasha, that is a problem. So, I mean, why is it not like more than just a problem? Well, there's an obvious difference, isn't there? I mean, the case in the second part of the Mishnah, is indeed not something that changes. This part is talking about something that is open to change. So the question is that considered to be a neder ta'ut? Because he already took into consideration the possibility of change. So when he mentioned it, does it mean that it's fundamentally a ta'ut? I didn't want to get into the thing because the guy was a mamzer, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not open to the fact that the guy may die. But if this is the kind of father that she has, I don't want to marry her. Maybe over there we wouldn't have viewed it as a ta'ut, right? So the case over here, why don't we say that if she was Kura, she'd become beautiful. I don't know. Maybe she had some very serious, beauty treatments, got a gorgeous hairdo and so on and so forth. So why wouldn't we say that also is the same as the type of mistake? So, I mean, we could say that there's a difference of an Adam Ra is osui la'asot teshuva, or he's osui lamut. There's still a lot of plasticity in the situation. So therefore, we understand that when he says avia ra, he's making it dependent on kol zman shavia ra. Mashenkein, in the later cases, that is not something that is generally open to change. Somebody who's ugly is not going to turn beautiful. That's how the Rajba understands it. Okay, the Ron brings an alternative. Sorry? Somebody asking something, or is that just Richie being on and not being muted? Okay, sorry. So the other possibility is that in the event that he says the same lashon, in other words, if he would have said, I'm not going to marry this woman because she is ugly, then that's the same thing as saying, I'm not going to marry this woman because she has a father who's a Rasha. Would be exactly the same. It's nothing to do with whether it's open to change or not. But since he didn't say that, had he said that, it would have mean as long as she's ugly. Same thing it meant over here, as long as she has a father who is Ra. But instead, he says, I'm defining the person as Ku'ura. So then he's not being tailored the netter in it. He's just made a mistake. It's a mistake in identification, that's all. And therefore, it's a completely different issue. All right, now we open up something that we've actually discussed before. So remember that we had the issue earlier, about much earlier in the Masechet. We are all the way back on Chav Beis of the question, remember, about Shmuel's case, that he's considered to be a Rosha, if he's a Bekayim and Neder, or Rabbi Nassan, he's considered to be Baina Bama and Makrevel of Korban, do we use the Pasuk, remember, Yesh Boteh Kimit Karot Cherev, the Kola Boteh, anybody who makes a Neder, he's Roy to have his throat slit, whatever. So those kind of things we said we cannot use as a petach. That was a given before that the Gemara spoke about. And nonetheless, we're going to open up the question over here about what type of things you would be able to be petach with. We had yesterday, and this was the reason, by the way, we had yesterday the questions about Kvot Shamayim. Can we be potech with Kvot Shamayim because of the chashash that ein nedarim nitarim yafeh machlokas, ein nedarim yafeh, or whether people will use a general panacea as a reason not to go to a chacham? So there seem to be three completely different issues, because in the earlier cases of the kemit kerot cherev, or kol mekaimo ki ilu mihikriv olav karbanis chayav kores, those are very, very powerful, as the Ron puts it, iyumim gidolim. Iyumim gidolim, nobody's going to say, I would have done it, because they're afraid. It's not just they're midbayesh, but it's as if you're opening up yourself. Do you realize that if you make a neder, you're roy to have your throat slit? Yeah, it's okay, you can slit my throat. I mean, that guy's not going to say. I mean, it's like if people are worried about an ayin hara, they're certainly not going to say, no, I'd make the neder anyway. I mean, that's pretty frightening. So that's one getter. That's why yesterday, when we learned the Mishnah, talking about Kvot Shamayim, the pshat in the rush that is Gufa Rabbi Nassan is not the pshat that the other Rishonim bring, including the Ran, and that the Kvot Shamayim is the fact that a neder is essentially a utilization of the concept of Hegdesh and the Kedushas Hashem, and therefore it's kaviyochol, a bizoyan for the Shem Hashem. That's the way they understand it. Because then it's not an iyum. Well, you'll be chayev koras. I don't care if I'm, nobody's going to say I don't care if I'm chayev koras. You see? So that would mean that we have three different dargas. We have iyumim. We have the chashash of enin tarim yafes of yesterday that people will be embarrassed with, in terms of kibud av ha'em, or in terms of the kvod shamayim that we spoke about. And then we have today, which we mentioned yesterday briefly, which is a specific mitzvah in which you ask a person if you would have realized that a neder can get you into a situation where you might be over on a mitzvah, would you have made it? Okay, a specific mitzvah, I would have made it. I wouldn't have considered that because, you know, the kind of mitzvahs that we're talking, I mean, those... that's not really a mitzvah. That's like, you know, a moral issue, you know. Okay, I know, you're not supposed to hate people. But, I mean, it's not something as eating chazer, is it? You know, this is how people look at it. So in that kind of situation, we're not chayish, that they will look at it as something that's a lie, in any darim yafeh, because, again, people, unfortunately, tend to look at mitzvahs, categorizing them as the comfortable mitzvahs that fit in with Western morality. You know, yeah, that means it's a nice idea. That's what it means. Or things that are really mitzvahs. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, that's not for our day and age kind of thing. Okay, so therefore, says Richie. The Odam Rabbi Meir, I have another kula, says Rabbi Meir. Namely, potchin lo min hakatuv shebat Torah. So we could say to him something like, well, listen, you were really angry at the guy, so because of that you said, he can't be nene from me. I mean, do you realize that you're going to be over on lo tikom, lo titor? I mean, this is just a straight out avera that you're doing. So ilo hayiti yodea shata avera lo tikom lo titor. Or, how about in a case where you're going to be misrachik from him, you'll be over on lotisnat achicha bilvavecha, I'm not going to talk to that guy. Or even if it isn't that bolate, but you're certainly not going to be able to be helpful for him, you'll be over on v'haftal reicha kamocha. Or what about if the guy becomes poor? You know, are you going to be able to help him? Suppose he's in a difficult spot and he needs tzedakah. You're not going to be able to help him out. So then he's an ani. Assuming that that's the case, each one of these cases is an example of a situation that would be mechayev this. So if he's an ani, so that you're going to be over on v'chayachicha imach. What happened to the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who said that you have to make sure that chayachicha imach, and you're not going to be able to do that? So in all of these cases, if the guy says, ilo ayiti yodea shukein, well, if I had realized that it's mamash achiev, so then I never would have been neider. That's kosher, as a petach, says Rabbi Meir. Omele Ravuna Barav Katino Rabbonin. I don't understand. I don't have a specific chiev on a specific guy, right? I mean, in other words, somebody comes along, you're going to tell me he's an ani, and I'm not going to be able to give him tzedakah. Well, we're like, what do you mean? I'm not mechuyev to give him tzedakah. I give plenty of tzedakah. I give tzedakah to another 100 aniyim. Why am I mechuyev to davka give this guy tzedakah? Everybody's giving him tzedakah. The guy goes to the Federation where they have a fund for people who don't have what to eat, whatever. They have the tamchuy. Everybody takes care of him. And don't say that I give money to the Federation, right? And that's mutter. Even if the gabbai is going to be giving it to him, like we saw before, two people in the midbar, I can give it to the other guy, and that other guy, I shouldn't have said Federation, that guy can give it to him, so of course the same thing is true over here, because even if I give money through the Federation, the gabbai can always change the yi'ud of that money, and he's allowed to, so it's not like I give it directly to him. So why can't he say, Nema, the guy should say, quote, what, kol demani lavalaina afil? I mean, just because he gets poor doesn't mean I'm the one that has to support him, does it? My demati lefarna soba adikuli alma. I mean, whatever portion that is necessary for me to participate, I participate in public fundraising. I give my money to the Federation. So what's the big deal? Ba'adi kuli amma mafanese le. Omar le. So they said to Ravuna Barav Katina, it's not true. Ani omer kol anofel, ein anofel idei gabay techila. People that are having financial problems, they do not go. By the way, this is, since it says Omar Le, it must mean that there's somebody, who's the Ani? There's somebody, not the Rabbanan, there's somebody specific. So therefore the correct girsa seems to be, which was the girsa of Rabba, that he asked Rabba, because that's usually who Ravuna Barav Katina asks, and not Le Rabbanan. So apparently somebody took the resh of Rabba and turned it into a kitzur for Rabbanan. Anyway, that's how the Rosh has it, that it's La Rabba. So Rabba tells him that the point is that what, now again, obviously there's only certain circumstances where this is true. We're talking about a case where it's somebody's nephew or someone in the family. So a person who gets into financial difficulty does not go first to the Federation. He goes to family and to close friends. You know, listen, I have a problem. Can you tide me over? And so on. Over there really is your specific responsibility, because this is what you're supposed to be, v'cheyachicha imach, those specific circumstances in which you are the one who's closer, you are the one. That's what Mishnah is saying. In a case like that, you could certainly see that you would be, because of your neder, be unable to be mekayim your mitzvah. And therefore you'll be over on v'cheyachicha imach. Yeah. Sort of. Okay, Sir Richard. Potchim la'adam b'ktuvat ishto. You can also utilize the fact that a neder against a wife can often cause a forced divorce, which will, if you made a neder, it's going to be you that's going to have to pay that ktuvah. And so you can utilize the fact that the person can say, oh, I can't afford to pay that ktuvah, as a petach. If I would have realized that I was going to end up in a pickle and I need to pay such a ktuvah, I never would have made the neder. Umaaseh be'achad, there was once a story where a guy made a neder that his wife can't be nene from him. And she had a very big ketuvah. It was 400 dinars. So in other words, he had put a big tosefet in the ketuvah. So he comes to Rabbi Akiva to be misader the get and so on. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, you have to pay your 400 dinar. So the guy's in shock. He says, Rabbi, you know, I'm a poor guy. I mean, I inherited, my father died. He left an estate of 800 dinar, okay? So Shmona Miyo Dinarin Niyach Abba, I had a brother. My brother took half of it. So that's 400 dinar. That left me with 400 dinar. So, I mean, I understand, you know, joint ownership with a wife. I, you know, I'll know those. So we'll split it, right? I mean, I get 200 and she gets 200. I mean, I can't give her the whole 400, can I? So, lo daya shetito himataim vanimataim. Can't we just split it? So, of course, Rabbi Akiva says to him, listen here, buddy. I don't care if you have to sell the hair off of your head for a shetel. You're going to be paying her ksuva, okay? So the guy says, oh my God. If I would have known that, I didn't realize it was going to left penurious. I mean, this is a disaster. So based on that, he tira Rabbi Akiva. Wait a minute. What do you mean 400 zuz? 400 zuz? You don't pay 400 zuz for a ksuva. That's metaltalin. You're saying that daddy left us a bank account. I thought that Eksuv is not chal on metaltalin. Isn't that the machlokas that we had between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim? We're not talking about Bizman Hazeh, where we put in Afil Migli Medal Katfe. That was at the Takanas Hagainim. But at the time of the Gemara, I mean, you're making the assumption over here that the Loch is like Rabbi Meir, and that the metaltalin would be Meshubat for the Eksuv in a bank account? No, come on, we're not talking about the details. I mean, when he says 800 dinar, he meant a piece of property that was worth 800 dinar. That's karka shove 800 dinar. What do you mean? But it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva said to him, even if you sell your hair as a sheitel, I mean, your hair is metaltalin, isn't it? So you see that you're going to have to sell your hair in a sort of a modern kind of idea. You're going to have to sell your hair in order to pay the ksuva. But your hair is metaltalin, the sarro show metaltalin. No, that's not what he meant. Achikamar, what he meant was that I don't care if you are reduced in such circumstances. You won't have what to eat because you gave away everything that you owe, which was mekarkein, not metatoli, to pay the ksuva, and now you have nothing to eat. I don't care if you're reduced to selling your hair to find something to eat. You are still going to be paying that ksuva from the karka. That's all that Rabbi Akiva was saying. They're saying you sell your hair directly to pay the ksuva. So wait a minute. So then this proves Shmamina that Ein Misadrin Labalchov. That's a big machlokas. We know that there is a halacha of Hasag Yad, if you remember, in the dinim of Erechin. So what happens over there? Somebody is mechayiv himself to the Gizbar of Hekdesh to pay an Erech. And he doesn't have enough money to cover the Erech. So the Torah uses the concept of the Nidre Erechin im lo tasig yado. He doesn't have money. So over there, the halacha is, and this is the basis of the dinim of bankruptcy in general society. Remember that Jewish law provides much of, you know, that's why you have these 49-year leases that are based on Shemitah all over the world. You have these inyonim of Hasag Yad. Somebody can't afford to pay back his loans. So then we declare bankruptcy. That bankruptcy is called Misadrin Labalchov. So over there, the Torah says that kefi asher tasig yado, based on what he can afford in the end, and the halacha over there in Erechin is that we only make that cheshbon after leaving him enough to live on. So in other words, he has to have enough for food for a year. If he's a professional, we leave him his professional instruments so that he's able to continue to make a living, and so on and so forth, right? We leave him bedding, whatever, all the whole list of what we do for someone who is a segyat. So there's a big machlokas about whether we learn out the din of Misadrin Labalchov from hesegyat of Erechin. So what about in a secular debt? Will a bezdin take the shirt off your back and basically leave you nothing? Or will the bezdin be Misadr the chov? So here you're saying, I don't care if you are going to need to sell your hair, if that's all you've got, you still have to pay her ksuva, right? So what does that mean? It seems to mean that Ein Misadrin Labalchov. In other words, we are not going to leave him anything. And he's going to be completely stripped because of his need to pay this ksuva. And, okay, this is a secular loan, so you see that you give away everything, no? And that would be basically paskening here in the Mishnah, like the Madi Amar who says that you do not make a hezder. We call that hezder chov even today. You don't make hezder chov because we don't learn out from Erechin. This is machlokas, whether we see it as a gzera shava or not. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Omrev Nachman Barab Yitzchak, it doesn't mean that. There's two different halachas about bankruptcy. One of them is, how much do we collect from you? But the other is, will what we collect from you cancel the debt? Even if afterwards you make money. That's a whole different issue. So there's two completely different dinim when it comes to the question of whether we're Misadrin Labalchov. All that we're saying over here is Rabbi Akiva. It's not necessarily Rabbi Akiva saying him, we're going to leave you stripped naked. It's that he's saying, look, even in the event that you want to go ahead and you want to pay every last penny, don't think that that's going to get you out of paying this ksuva. Ultimately, even if you want to do that, and even if you're reduced to that, to selling your hair, you are going to be paying her her ksuva in the end, because it's not going to cancel the debt of the ksuva. That for sure we're not learning. Nobody said we should. We don't have a din of bankruptcy other than for Hekdash. And even though you paid whatever you could pay, the debt is still against you, so that if you make money in the future, the guy can sue for the rest of his money. And you can't say, well, you know, we already made a deal, unless, of course, the guy makes a deal. But otherwise, there's no such halacha. That's all that it means. Omer Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, what it's coming to tell me is she'ein mikar'in shtar ketuvah. We're not going to rip up the shtar ketuvah because you paid 99.9% of the ketuvah. You say, okay, you know what? I'd rather just get it off my head. The heck with it. Get her out of my life. It's not going to help you. You're going to end up paying this ketuvah. That's the problem. Okay, well, if I'd known that, forget it. I know. Okay, fine. So then we'll be mad to the nether.